After wishing everyone a Shavuot Tov. And Shavuot Kamili. So we have Machlok Shin Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, with regard to Mukta. We start with the Sugya on Daf Yutes Amud Beis. And that's Tamri de Iska. You see that nine lines up before the end of the Amud.
It's cold.
So these were Tamri that were designated to be sold. You have it all crated in, sent out to the marketplace. Rav Yehuda says that Mukta, there was no Hakana. And Rav Shimon says, no, they're royal achila, you need them, you can eat them, there's no mukt. Then we have the machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda in the case of Patsile de Tamre. That's on the hay, on the base, right on top, the top line. And these are tamarim that have been put into various salim, and they have to ripen, they're not yet ripened, he needs them on Shabbos. So according to Rav Shimon, it's mukta, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's mukta because he was waiting for them to ripen. We have also the sugya of Otsa Shel Tfua on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin on the Beis. And then we have a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon about Migud V'Skatzoyl Ben Hashmash V'Skatzoyl Kul Yom. So that machlokus appears in a few places, mostly on Daf Mendalad Amid Aleph and Memhei Amid Beis. On Mendalad Amid Aleph, we have the sugya of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara raises the question of Rabbi Shimon in the case of Ner. Rabbi Yochanan says that Moda Rabbi Shimon agrees that as long as the Ner is Doluk, it's Mukta, but after Kibui, the Ner is no longer Mukta, and he doesn't apply the principle of Migud Iskatsoy. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Migud Iskatsoy Ben Hashmash Iskatsoy L'Kul Yom. So that's the case of Ner Zuta, and the Gemara establishes on Daf Mem Heyam and Beis that if it's a kos karav ashishis, which means there's a large volume of oil in the Ner, and there's no Yoshev Mitzapa, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's Muksa. That means even after Kibui, if let's say for some reason a strong wind comes and blows out the Ner, it would still remain Muksa. So Memhei Amid Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish that Chitin Shezoram Bakarka is not Mukta, unless this is before Ashrosha, so there's no Iser in removing the Chitin. And even though Mestoma, he wouldn't have used them, but if he needs them, he's allowed to take them according to Rav Shimon, because the only case in Rav Shimon, in Mukta, says Rabbi Yochanan, is the case of Ner Kol Zman Shu Dolk. Tosus asks, what about Grogus with Tzimukim on the next Sugya on Middays? And Tosus gives a whole answer for that. So we explain the following. That according to Rav Yehuda, the Torah says, V'chinu asesho yaviu, and we require hachon. The gavra has to do a maisa hachon. In all these cases, since the Gavra did not anticipate using them, going into Shabbos, Ben HaShemoshes, he assumed it's Patzil de Tamri, it's not ripened yet, it's Tamid Iske, he's going to send it out to the market. He didn't anticipate using it. And therefore there was no Achonas HaGavra. Unless it's a positive Achona, Rabbi Yehuda says it's Mukta. Rabbi Shimon doesn't require a positive Achona, B'kum Vaseh, as a Maisa Gavra. Rabbi Shimon holds that if the Cheft itself is Mukhan, Mitzad Atzmo, so machmas atzmo tzmuchan. I don't have to do a hachana. So the question now arises, if according to Rav Shimon, you don't have to do a hachana, the cheft is muchan mitzad atzmo, does that mean that Rav Shimon completely denies the halach of mukta? And we see over and over again that Rav Shimon is moda in certain cases of mukta, whether it be the case of a ner doluk, whether it be the case of grogus v'tzimukim, possibly the case of Mukta Machmas Mius, that's a sugya at the end of Masechta Shabbos, and certainly in the case of something which he was Makta Midaita. And the conclusion that we came to last time is that even though Rav Shimon doesn't require a positive Hachana, he doesn't require Maisa Gavra, but nevertheless, he excludes the case, or let's put it this way, there is a case of Mukta when he's makta bekumvase. So again, in the absence of haktzah, when it's just a question of does he anticipate whether he'll use it or not, Reb Shimon says, let's look at the cheft. If the chetz is roy, not like the case of Grogus and Tzibukim, where you assume it's not roy, but if the case is the cheft is roy mitzad atzmo, that's hachana. There's hachana, so to speak, inherent in the cheft. It's built into the cheft. However, Reb Shimon agrees that if I designate something as muktzah through haktzah midaito, as a positive act of haktzah, for example, he lights the ner and he's maksit l'mitzvaso, or it's muktzah l'isura because of isur kibui. If there's an isur on the cheftza, then even Reb Shimon says that the cheftza doesn't lend itself to hachana. Means, although Reb Shimon argues in the case of ner li'achar shenichbe, li'achar kibui, that's because Reb Shimon says, I can already anticipate, as the Gemara says, Yoshim Mitzapa, when I go into Shabbos, that in a case of an Er Zuta at least, it's going to be extinguished midway through Shabbos. If that be the case, the Cheftza is Muchan L'Liachar Zman. In other words, right now it's not Muchan. As long as it's Doluk, Rabbi Yochanan says, Reb Shimon agrees, it's Mukta. Right now, the Cheftza is a Cheftza di Surah. It's also Mitzan Kibui. It's also Mitzum Shahutzal Mitzvaso. And therefore, as long as it's Doluk, the Cheftza can't be Muchan. However, the very moment that I say that I know there's going to be a removal of that Isur, in other words, when I enter into Shabbos, because it's a Ner Zuta, I already anticipate that that Isur is going to be removed. Then I can look at the Cheftza and classify it in two ways. Reb Shimon holds I have a luxury that Rabbi Yehuda you don't have. You, Rabbi Yehuda, are looking for a hachana. You can't be making this. You enter into Shabbos and you're machted. If you're machted, you set it aside as an Er Doluk, you can't be making it. From the Gavra's point of view, it would be a tarti the sasre to say on the one hand he's making it, and on the other hand he's not making it, he's machted. So take your choice, so to speak. And the answer is that he's machzit, and therefore migu this katsoi kicks in, because there's no possibility of doing a maisa hachana. Hachana liyachar zman makes no sense in the framework of Rabbi Yehuda, because on the contrary, instead of doing hachana, he was machzit. Says Rabbi Shimon, that's because you define vechinuas asher yaviu as a positive kumva, say, as a maisa, you require a hachana. So if there's hachan as a maisa b'kumva say, you can't tell me that you were making this ner because you weren't making this ner. On the contrary, you designated as a ner Shabbos, it's awesome. But I, says Reb Shimon, I have a different halacha. I have halacha that's not the din of vechiras yeshuv. It doesn't require that I be making the object. It just requires that the object itself be muchan. What if you have an object that's not going to be muchan for a certain period of time, but come the middle of Shabbos, so to speak, it will become muchan? Here, Rav Shimon says we could allow for hachana liyachar zman, hachana al shem ha'asid. So again, let's answer the following question: why is it that according to Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon is moda in the case of ner kol zman shu dolk? Rav Yochanan says here on Daf Mem Dalet because it's huksa l'mitzvaso and it's huksa v'achmas isuro. So what? Why is it any better than patsili de tamre or tamre de iska? In all those cases, I don't anticipate using it. So we said the following: even if I don't anticipate using it, there was no haktzaach yuvit, as we call it. He didn't bekumva say maktzeh. True, he had no hachana. He didn't anticipate using it. It wasn't ripe yet. It wasn't ready yet for his family to eat. It was being sent out, designated for the market. But nevertheless, mitzad atzmo, it's muchan. But what happens, says Rabbi Yochanan, in the framework of Rav Shimon, if I stand up and make a haktzah, I'm docha biyodayim, I designate this as a ner dolek with mitzvah and with isur, then even Rav Shimon holds that the yichinu asher yaviu kicks in. I don't need a positive v'ichinu asher yaviu, but I needed the cheftza to be muchan. The cheftza can be muchan mitzad atzmo if it's roy lekach. But if it's not roy lekach, because I designated it, and as a result of my designation, I engendered an iser kibui, or an iser of Lashem, because it's huktel mitzvaso, in that case, the cheftza mitzad atzmo is no longer muchan. Says Reb Shimon, you know what? I'm going to make the following distinction. And the Gemara is going to analyze this. What happens in a case of an er zuta, what happens in a case of kos ashishis fakara? Says Rav Shimon, I can make a distinction between the two. In the case of an er zuta, there's already going to be a heter on this isur. I know that it's muktzel mitzvah for a certain time period, but I also know that I can anticipate, which the Gemara calls yoshiv mitzapeh, that it's going to go out. And when it's going to go out, it's no longer muktzel mitzvah. It's no longer muktzel achmas isur. It's no longer isur kibbutz. If that be the case, then when we analyze the cheftza, says Rav Shimon, going into Shabbos, we can set up this cheftza on the two different categories. The category of the cheftza as we enter into Shabbos is muktzemachmas, mitzvahmachmas, isur. The cheftza is not royal hachana, and therefore there's no hachana. That new status in the cheftza creates haktaachiyuvit in a positive way. But at the same time, since I know that it's going to go out midway through Shabbos and the Isur will be removed, there is a hachana inherent in the cheftza aliachar zman. But nevar amurim, says Rav Shimon, that's only in an er zuta. But if it's kos v'kara v'ashishis, and I anticipate that the huktzel mitzvahs, huktzel machmas Isur will continue throughout the entire balance of Shabbos, in such a case, the cheftza is mufka from hachana. Meaning, Ner Doluk, in the case of Ner Zuta, the Cheftza is not mufka from Hachana. On the contrary, there's a Matir that's going to remove the Isur, and I can say about that Matir, it's a Vadai Matir. If it's a Vadai Matir entering into Shabbos, then although the Cheftza is not Mukhan, but at the same time, it's not mufka from Hachana. So I can create a Hachana now entering into Shabbos, Aliachar Zman. And that Hachana could be Chal. And what engenders that hachana? The fact that I know there's going to be a matir. The vadai matir is built into the cheftza, and that creates already entering into Shabbos a cheftza that has hachana in it. So therefore, Rav Shimon says in the case of Ner Zuta, although it's mukta, but I don't have the right to say that it's mufka from hachana. The status of mukta as a result of the Isur is a temporary one. It's got, shall we say, a time bomb in it. We know it's going to expire at some point. So since the expiration date is muchach, is vadai, the heter on the Isur kibbutz, the heter on the Isur muktzel mitzvasov, is vadai, it's certain. The cheftza lends itself to hachon. Comes along Rav Shimon and he says, but in Kos and Kara, there's no vadai, there's no anticipation that it will become mutter, that the Isur will be removed. Now he says the Cheftza becomes a Cheftza of Mukta through and through, duch and duch. The Cheftza is now Asur completely, and the Nafkamina is that it's Mufka from Achana. I have no right to say that it's Mukta for half the Shabbos, but for the second half of Shabbos, it's Mukhan. There's no Achana in this Cheftza. The Cheftza completely rejects or repels any possibility of Achana. That's the Mafkia of Achana. So again, just to summarize, what we have here in Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon about the following. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that even in the case of an er zut, it's mufka from hachana. You can't be making something when you yourself designated it as a cheftza disura. You brought about the mukta actively. It doesn't lend itself to hachana. It's not like the case of Patsil the Tamrei, or the case of Tamar the Iskar, where Rabbi Yehuda would admit that if I did a hachana, if I said hidni buchan and mezuma to use these tomorrow on Shabbos, then of course it would be buchan, because then I did a hachana sagav. The cheftz itself lends itself to hachana, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, however, in the case of a ner, even a ner zuta, since he does a haktsachi uvit, Rabbi Yehuda holds he's mafkia the possibility of being mechin it. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda requires hachanas agavra. And within the context of hachanas agavra, as a mais hachana, you can't be mechin something that you would docha. So the dechia b'yadayim, which engenders a muksachi uvit, makes it impossible that you could be mechin it. And therefore, even when the ner goes out, and I anticipated the ner to go out, it remains muksa. Because I can't be mechin it. I can't be mechin it, so I do the opposite of hachana. So once I do the opposite of hachana, even in the case of ner zuta, Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's mufka from a maisa hachana. If it's mufka from a maisa hachana, then it's mukts. Kamzal Rav Shimon says, there is no din of a maisa hachana. The Torah never required a maisa hachana. And the Rabbana never required a maisa hachana. We require that the Chefza be Mukhan. Says Rav Shimon, you know when the Chefza is Mukhan? Whenever it's Roy L'Achila. I could possibly eat it. Then it's considered Mukhan. The Achan is built into the Chefza. But once you designate it for Isur, and the Isur is Chal on the Chefza, then even Rav Shimon is Modeh that the Chefza is not Mukhan. But says Rav Shimon, since there's a vaday matir to remove that isur, that's called Yoshev Mitzafe. In the case of an Izuta, Rav Shimon says, although I was makta it in a positive way, and that haktsah engenders a chaloshim muktzah in the chefta. The chefta is a chefta of the isura because of the isur kibui, etc., etc. Says Rav Shimon, though it's also mukhan because it's a vaday matir built in. But in the case of Kosfit Karavash Shishas, where there's no matir built in, where the Chefta is now being designated as a Chefta the Isur for the entire course of Shabbos, then the Chefta is mufka from Hachana. You can't be making such a Chefta. And here at this point, Rabosai, we have to ask the question of questions. What about Tanai? Does Tanai work? So of course the Beis Yosef in Simon Reishai in Tesiv Daladi Ramaskal Lekosav Aran quotes the Rivash. What is the Rivash's problem? The Ramban here in Perakira quotes a Yushalmi. He found the Yushalmi, and the Yushalmi says that Tanai works for Rav Shimon in Kos Vekara Vashishis. So man goes into Shabbos, he lights a vast, immense volume of oil as a Ner Shabbos, but he says, I declare that when this Ner goes out, if and when, you know, wind comes by, I will be allowed to use this Ner, I'll be allowed to use the Shem, and he makes it tonight. And the Yerushalmi says it works. The Ramban wants to take another step. He wants to say that just like, according to Rav Shimon, the Yerushalmi establishes that Tanai is effective in the case of Kos Vekara Shishas, so too according to Yehuda, Tanai will be effective in the case of Ner Zuta. But be that as it may, comes along the Rivash, and he says, the Yerushalmi only operates with Tanai within the context of Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon could accept Tanai, but not Rav Yehuda. Everybody with me so far? So again, whereas the Ramban quotes this Yerushalmi that Tanai works for Rav Shimon in the case of Kos Vekara Vashishis, and then the Ramban goes one step further, and he says, by analogy, therefore Tanai should work according to Yerushalmi, even according to Rav Yehuda, Al Kol Panim in the case of Ner Zuta, comes along the Rivash, and he says, no. Tanai works according to Rav Shimon, but Tanai doesn't work according to Rav Yehuda. No such thing. So when I first saw the Rivash, I thought to myself, the Rivash could fit into our framework beautifully. We could say that there's a fundamental machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, and the Nachamini is going to be Tanai. Rav Yehuda holds that once there's a haktzah chiyuvit, right, I was docha b'yadayim, I established this as a ner Shabbos, it's got an isur kibui, it's got an isur l'mitzvaso, and I'll think the whole nine yards. Then at that point, the cheft itself is muchan, is mufka from hachana. I can't be making it. Why? Because I did the opposite. I did something antithetical. Namely, I was makzit. So the gavra, instead of being making it, was makzit. He pushed it away, and therefore it's not possible to be making it. Says the Rivash, oy bazoi, forget about Tanai. There's no possibility of Tanai in a chefza that's mufka from achana. Tanai can't create achana for some object that's completely antithetical to achana. But Rav Shimon holds that, let's take the case of Ner Zuta, for example, where Rav Shimon says that even though now you've designated as a chefza of Isur, as Mutzah Machmas Isur, but nevertheless I don't require Hachonas HaGavra, and therefore it's not a type to this Asrei. If I say Bad Vivad with the chefza of Mutzah, then it's also chefza Muchan Liachar Zman. In other words, where Rav Shimon accepts Hachon Liachar Zman, and that's not a type to this Asrei, is that Rav Shimon could also accept Tanai. Because you see that according to Rav Shimon, what engendered the Chefta of Mukta is the fact that I was Docha B'Yadayim. The Chefetz Mitzaratzma could be Roy, but once I designate it as an Er Shabbos, I push it aside, it can't be Roy anymore. If I anticipate that it will become Roy after Kibui, in the case of Ner Zuta, then I could be making it now an Erev Shabbos. But Rabosai, we're not talking about the case of Ner Zuta. The Yushalmi that the Ramban quotes is talking about the case of Kos v'Karavashishus. And how do we interpret Kos v'Karavashishus? Rav Shimon was machmir in the case of Ner Zuta calls Machu Doluk. In the case of Kos v'Karavashishus, he's machmir even l'achar kibui. And the reason for that, we said, is because ultimately, if there's no Vadai Matir built into the Cheftza is completely mufka from Achana. No, if the Cheftza objectively is mufka from Achana, how can you make a Tanai? Tanai can work where the Cheftza is only temporarily, on a part-time basis, mufka from Achana, as long as it's lit. Then you want to say, I want to make Achana? Fine. Then Tanai would be effective, but that's not the issue. I don't need Tanai in the case of Ner Zuta. On Tanai, drop the Tanai, it doesn't matter. It was in Ner Zuta, it's Yoshev Mitzapa. You see, the Rivash seems to assume that take Yoshev Mitzapa and apply it to Tanai. Okay, fine, I understand the Rivash. But how is the Rivash going to justify the Yushalmi when the Yushalmi goes a step further and says, according to Rav Shimon, Tanai is effective in the case of Kos v'Karavashishus? Kos v'Karavashishus, according to Rav Shimon, is mode that if the wind blows it out midway through Shabbos, it still remains Muktzah. Why? Because Rav Shimon says in this case that I was Maktzah. And through my Haktzah, it engendered, the Cheft engendered a status of Isur. It's Mufka from any Shimush, any Tashmish. It's therefore, it's Mufka from Achana. Now we have a positive way of changing the identity of the object. It's got a new identity. It's Muktzah Mitzvah, so it's Muktzah Machmas Isura. And that doesn't lend itself as a Cheftza to Achana. Is Oiva Zoi, what sense does it make in Tanai? The Yushalmi's Chiddush is that Tanai works according to Rav Shimon and Kos v'Karavashishus. But if the Cheftza is Mufka from Achana, how is Tanai going to work? And I was racking my brains on this. But before I tell you, again, B'doch HaGadol, what I think you have to say, I want to read to you the language of the Rivash. The Rivash quoted here in Beis Yosef says the following. He says, "Cave on Reb Shimon Cholik al Sfaras Migu Diskatzoi." Why does the Yerushalmi think that Tanai works Zochter Rivash? Because Reb Shimon rejects Migu Diskatzoi Levin Hashmash Diskatzoi LeKul Yoma. That's against everything we've been saying, Rabosai. The Rivash is on a different page. Doesn't mean that he's wrong and we're right. But I'm just pointing out to you that he, who nigash l'shulchan, you know, he comes to the table with a different, he's got something else in his pocket. We assume that Reb Shimon never rejected Migu Diskatzol Ben Hashmoshes. He would accept Migu Diskatzol Ben Hashmoshes and Katzol Kol Yoma in the case of Ashishes and Ner Doluk. Or for example, the whole bunch of cases. Let's go through the case. We have three sugyas. Just mark them down for those who want to write down the sugyas. There's Mem Dalet Amid Beis is Kos v'Karavashishus. There's Mem Vav Amid Beis in the case of Bechor Shenofel B'Mum. In the middle of Yontif, a mum happened to this animal. Says Rav Shimon, it's Muktzah. You can't shech the animal even after you bring the Chacham to be Matir and make it into a mum over. It doesn't matter. Why? Because any Yoshev Mitzapah. Then we have the third sugya of Beitzah Daf Lamed Amid Beis, the sugya of Sukkah Bria. A healthy Sukkah falls on Yontif. You can't use the Yatzeh Sukkah even according to Rav Shimon because there's no Yoshev Mitzapah. So what are you going to do in all those three cases? Rav Shimon is Moder. In there, Kos v'Karavashishus. In the case of Bechor, in the case of Sukkah, in all these two cases, Reb Shimon is Moder because the Cheftza is Mufka from Hachana. It's Mufka from Hachana, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda has been yelling about. Migu this Katzol ben Hashmosh this Katzol kul Yoma. The fact that the Sukkah fell in the middle of Yontif, or all of a sudden the Chacham was Mati, the Mum, or all of a sudden a wind came and blew out your candle. That is not effective, says Rabbi Yehuda, through the principle of Migu. It means if it's Mufka from Achana, it's Mufka from Achana the whole Shabbos. And Rav Shimon is Moshe in all those three cases. So I thought to myself, how could the Rivash come along and say that Rav Shimon rejects me? But let's understand. Before we get into the kishkis of the Rivash, and I want to show you the Ravid also in his Hasogis on the Rif in Beitzah says very similar to the Rivash. But before we get into that, basically, what the Rivash is arguing is that forget about Haktzah and forget about the Chefta being Mufka from Hachana. That's not Rav Shimon's issue. Rav Shimon is working in a whole different context. Exactly what we try to avoid, like the plague, is exactly what the derech, the road that the Rivash wants to take. That the whole issue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is to what extent is Hesek Hadas, is there is Hesek Hadas, is not Hesek Hadas. And we try to avoid that like the plague. But from our perspective, what are we going to do with this Yerushalmi? How could it be possible if Rabbi Shimon is machalik between the absence of Hachana, Chisaran Hachana, which according to Rav Shimon is not a problem, it doesn't engender moves. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand is Haktach Yuvik, when he was Dokna Biyadayim, he did an act to designate the object, and now incurs, it engenders some sort of Isur, or some sort of Mitzvah, so. And that Haktzah is Mafkir the Cheftza from any Hachana. You can't go into Shabbos and say, let's let this Hachana be effectively Achar Zman, when the Isur is removed. It's a cause for Kairav Ashishis. So all of a sudden, Yerushalmi says that Tanai works. And it's an amazing concept, Rabbosai. Again, the Shas Adchag Gadol, we have something called a Mechir Lizman. In other words, whenever my Das engenders some sort of Chalos, like I'm being Machna, you something, says a Das Machna, I can put in a time limitation. It's a Mechir Matan Lizman, whole Sugis and Kedushin. Kedushin is Masech the Kinyonin. There's such a thing as a Kinyon Lizman. Yeah, Hamed Varam Urv a Kinyon Lizman. When the Kinyon is effectuated, me das. So I can sell you something, Lizman. But here, we're not talking about das. We're talking about the Chefza being a Chefza di Surah. The Mukta here is engendered by the fact that it's a Ner Mitzvah. Ner mitzvah is a halachic reality, if you call it that. It's not. I'm not going to ask you, buddy, mister, do you agree with me that there's a din of huktzah mitzvah? So we need das machna. There's no das machna in muktzah. Das machna. If we ask one question, according to Rav Shimon, were you machta itli iser? You are machta itli iser. If you were machta itli iser, and it's a kos for karavashishis that iser has no matir to it. We can't anticipate the cheft is going to change it and transform its personality. Then that's the end of the ball game. That's what we call Migdal Katzolim Ben Hashmashos, where Rav Shimon agrees to in three different sugyas. So what's helped tonight? What's Yerushalmi batting about? So the answer has to be that there's some sort of quasi halach of das in Muktzah. When we talk according to Rav Shimon about Haktzah Chiyuvit, what we're talking about is what engendered the status of this Ner as a Ner Mitzvah. Why is it that there's an Isur Kivui on the Ner? The answer is because I'm the Balabos. Because I designated it as a Ner Mitzvah. I lit the candle. I was Docha B'Yadayim. You know what? I want to make a Dechia B'Yadayim Lizman. I want to make a Tanai. That come the moment that the Chacham is going to be Matir the Bechor, and come the moment that the Sukkah is going to fall apart because a wind came along and blew it down. Come the moment that the Ner is going to be covered because a big wind came, the Ruach Shein HaMetzuyah, I no longer am Docha B'Yadayim. So again, what we're adding here, according to Yerushalmi, is a whole new element into the picture. We thought he designates it as a Ner, and from that point on, the Cheft itself determines its own character, and it's got a Chalush Shem, Iser in it, which engenders Muktzah, it's Mafkiah from Achana. If it's Mufka from Achana, there's no talk about Tanai. Comes when Yerushalmi says name, there's another Allah here. But again, this Dokha Gadol, what I'm telling you. That somehow the whole Muktzah result or evolved because he designated it as an Er Shabbos, he has the right to say, Ich bin Baile, I'm the Balabas here, and I say that this act of Dechia I designated is only Kol Zman, it's lit. Kol Zman, there's no Chacham to be Mati. Once it goes out, is the Zman is Paka, my original Akhtzah is Paka, the Cheftza can now change its identity and it becomes Mukhan. But the Rivash says something totally different.
Even though it could be that will never happen over Shabbos.
Correct. Can make a Tanai? It's not like a case of Zman where, you know, I'm a Kaish Nisha for 30 days. After 30 days, that's it. Paka Kinyon. Again, you know, we have to go through the whole sugya and the darim of Paka Hegdish Bechdi, and the Rishonim Degin of Sech the Kedusha, Wanashtel Tzu, Isha is Mekudesh, like Hegdish, right? The Osar Kuli Amaka Hegdish, and therefore there's no Kedusha Lizman. But let's say Mechira Lizman, or Matana Lizman. Yeah, there I know exactly. I can tell you right now, Bidyuk, exactly like a Yeki, when the Kinyan is going to be Parka. And the object refers back to the Moch. But how can you do that in the case of Ne'er, because Fashishes? I mean, how do you know when and if the wind will come? That's because it's not Midas. That's the Pel of the Yishan. Again, Tzorchi and Go. I'm still giving you just a, you know, food for thought. But the Rivash, that's what I wanted to point out to you. He has a whole other approach. Again, if you like it, you like it. But it's the Rivash. He's a Rishon, not a late Rishon, but he's a Rishon. He says that, you know what Reb Shimon is talking about? Reb Shimon rejects Migu Diskatsoi. Doesn't exist. Reb Shimon completely rejects Migu Diskatsoi. Again, I'd love to go through Shas and see if that's Oyskal. He says, you know what Reb Shimon is? Reb Shimon is saying that you did not have das to use this object during Shabbos. It was asech adaita. And if it's asech adaita, it's mutz. In other words, Reb Shimon is on board with Reb Yehuda that you need hachana. And when does Reb Shimon say you're lacking an hachana? That's called hesech adas. There's an entire twilight zone in the middle of gray area, and that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Did he have Hesek Hadas? Did he not have Hesek Hadas? So Rabbi Yehuda goes with Pashtus and he says, look, you got Patsil de Tamri, you got Tamri de Iskri, you have Hesek Hadas. You put an air and you lit it, you have Hesek Hadas. Comes Rabbi Shimon and says, no, I'm large, you know, I'm anticipating the future. I'm worried, I'm one of these nervous hilarious, these guys that say, oh, you know what, maybe I'll need those tomorrow. You know, I got a lot of guests coming on Shabbos, you know, it's the Amy Clarity Center, we got guests floating in and out here. So, you know what, I'm not Masech Adaita. The Gansa Machlokis here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is within the context, according to the Rivash, of Hachonas Agavra. There's got to be a Maisa Achana Veichinu Es Asher Yaviu Kipshuto Kimashmo, even according to Rav Shimon. Comes over Rav Shimon and says, you know what? I'm very active and expanding the scope of my Achana, and I'm making in all these cases. Says the Rivash, you know what? If Rav Shimon holds that it all comes down to Achana, then Tanai makes sense. The Yerushalmi is perfect. The Yerushalmi says, I have a Ner Kosvah Shishis. But ich gemacht a time. I made it tonight. I came in and I said, you know what? The wind is going to blow out. I need the shemen. You know, I'm running out of oil for my salads. And I want to make a hachana. That's my business. I made a... So it's not asech adaita. Oh, comes on Rivash. And he says, but Rabbi Yehuda shesover migu diskatsoy l'veneshvaz katsoy l'veneshmah v'kuyom alomo il tnai. Why? Because it's new halacha. A brand new halacha. Rav Shimon is arguing, well, was he Mesech Das? Was he not Mesech Das? Go figure it out. You know, Nidna Torah L'shur. He was, he wasn't. Kamzul Rav Yudah says this new halacha. The new halacha is that you can't have a hachana when you don't have a hachana. Meaning, if you were Mesech Das, and Kuliyamalo Pligi in Ner Kos Vashin, and Kos Karabashish, you were Mesech Das, you cannot tell me that there was a hachana. The hachana has to come immediate, at that very first moment. There's no such thing as being meichin et liachar zman, as we discussed earlier. And therefore, says the Rivash, the whole concept of Tanai, according to Rav Yehuda, is completely out of whack. But not only in the case of Kos Karavashisha, says the Rivash, but even in the case of an erzuta. An erzuta will be Baruch Shalom. I anticipate that the Iser will be Paka, the Iser Kibbutz will be Paka midway through Shabbos. There's no such thing as Tanai. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that once the Hachana was excluded, that instead of being Mechin it, I designated with the Dechi of Yadayim as a Ner, after that, there's no room for Hachana at all. You know, we could ask you at one moment in time, that critical moment entering into Shabbos, were you making it? And when you shake your head like this, that's it. Migu diskatsoi. That migu kicks in and tells me that the entire Shabbos is completely without.
Before the migu.
Good. But says the Rivash, that if there's a halacha that you have to be mechim, and if you weren't mechim, then you can't have hachana, even on Erev Yontif. Again, what's the case of Ner Zuta? Ner Zuta means that I want to be mechim it for the time period and I anticipate Yotzim Shabbat, it'll go out. In other words, the Rivash assumes that even Rav Shimon, even Rav Yehuda knows that Adam Yoshev Mitzat, the man is planning, you can tell biologically, you know, that the clock ticks and that this limited volume of Shemin is going to go out. And therefore, Even Rabbi Yehuda has to admit that I could be making it for them. But no, the answer is Migu. Migu is a brand new halacha. And the halacha of Migu operates in such a way that if you're not making it now, then there's no such thing as achana midway through Shabbos. Shabbos is one entity. Either it has achana going in or it doesn't have achana going in. Zakhtar Rivash, if that be the case, there's no room for tonight. Tonight can't work, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbosai, all this is halacha lemaisa. In the case of Ner Zuta, because even though Reb Shimon says the Rivash, Reb Shimon assumes that there's no Hesek Hadas in the case of Ner Zuta, because Adam Yoshev Mitzapa. Nevertheless, the Gemara says at the end of Shabbos that although we paskin like Reb Shimon in many different cases, but in this case of Ner Zuta, we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. Because we're of the opinion that there's no such thing as a half hesech hadas. You a mesech daito, and that's it. Either because of the way the Rivash understands Rabbi Yehuda that migu diskatzoi is a brand new halach, or the way we explained it, that once you adocha biyadai, the chefza is transformed into a different entity, and it's mufka from achana. But either way, the Gemara paskins that even when the Nair goes out, which I anticipated of Shabbos, it still remains mukta. So now we have a real serious shaila halacha lemaisa. If we've accepted Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon, in the case of their zuta, does Tnai work or does it not work? And the Beis Yosef quotes the Rivash, who says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Tnai. So there may be cases where we can, you know, halacha lemaisa, we pass like Rabbi Shimon and we can operate with Tnai, but not in the case of Nair, you know, which is the classical machlokas from Rabbi Shimon, is the Rivash assumes that there is no such thing as Tnai. Again, it's against the Ramban. But I want to point out to you that the Rivash is not alone, I don't think, because if you take a look at the Ravid, and I want to quote to you the language of the Ravid, this is the Ravid in Hasagis on the Riff in Beta. It's not my impressive Bekiyas here, but you really have to have Bekiyas to start Mukta, even just an introduction to Mukta. Now you have to know it all before you start. So the Ravid in Hasagis on the Riff in Beta Lamino and Beta says the following. The Riff says that Tanai works in Mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the predecessor of the Ramban, says the Ravid, Kishem Shalom Moel Yoshev Mitzaf Eladas Rav Yehuda, Eladi Amrina Migu Diskatzol Ben Eshpos Diskatzol Kuyoma, Kmochein Lo Yoel Tnaila Rav Yehuda. And there's a certain power in the words of the Ravid. The Ravid saying, look, you want to talk about Tnai, talk about Rav Shimon and Yoshev Mitzaf. Yoshev Mitzaf means I have Das, so why not throw in Tnai? Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, wait a minute, it's muks at the beginning of Shabbos, it's muks of the entire Shabbos, Yoshev Mitzaf is not going to help you kiyuzeh, and therefore Tanai is not going to work. And basically I think the Ravid is operating with the same premise as the Rivash, namely that there's a brand new halach of Migu that precludes any hachana that could be chal midway through Shabbos. New Rav Shimon, the Ravid doesn't deny the Yushalmi. The Ravid is not involved in a head-on collision with the Yushalmi. Tanai does work, but the Yushalmi is talking about Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon never accepted this halacha of Migu. Rav Shimon wants to know, do I have Das or didn't I have Das? Rav Shimon is able to allow you to be making something Kaliyachar al-Zman. He somehow overrides that Tarti Dasas that we've been talking about now for 2 weeks, that you can't be making and not be making at the same time. And if you can be making Liachar Zman, then why not Tanai? That's what the Yushalmi has in mind. So it's the Ravid and the Rivash against the Riv and the Ramban. And they're all together. And finally, what I want to discuss with you towards the end of this year is the Sugya on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel with regard to Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. The Gemara says explicitly that Rav Shimon is Moda in Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis, Kuf Chav Gimel. Omer Rav Chinina Bar Shlomo, Bar Shalmi, Nishmei Derav, Hakol Moda Besichi Zairi Umizori, the Kema the Kopet Alayu Miyachid Lu Mok. So these, of course, are expensive utensils. We have one of the fellows that comes to the shiurim is a retired dentist. So, you know, imagine the case of a dentist, you know. He's got all those scary utensils over there, right? You know, that I have nightmares about them in the middle of the night. Since my early childhood, before they gave you, when I was a kid, they only gave you a shot if they thought they'd have to drill more than 7 times. That was the official number. I don't know, this Maral would have a blast about it. But anyway, why they pick 7? So I have nightmares to this day from Dr. Gelston, who was my, if he's alive today, he's 150, he was my dentist, and he used to always say to me, again, there was no Novocaine, then he would say to me, just one more drill. And I already knew as a 10-year-old that when he said one more drill, he meant 10 more drills. You know, he was just Makatsa. Anyway. But anyway, so you have all these cases of those utensils that are very sensitive, and you can't use them, you know, stam, you lock them up. The whole sugya about Ismail shall milah for the mail, and what does he do after the milah? Is he allowed to put it away, and who can put it away, and so forth and so on. Muktzah machmas chisaron kis, says the Gemara, modu Reb Shimon, but muktzah machmas chisaron kis. Reb Shimon has no problem accepting muktzah in the case of chisaron kis. And if you take a look on Kuf Nun Zayin, right before the last Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, it says over here that Abul Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis Afilu Reb Shimon Moda. The Mishnah called Kalim. He told the Shabbos Chutzim Meser Agadol. Okay, that's a problem. Exactly why the Gemara proves this with the Meser Agadol, which Lechora is only a Muktzah Machmas. It's a Klisha Machmasa. But anyway, leave that out. Gemara says that Reb Shimon is more than Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis. So this is a tremendous problem. Because if you remember, I quoted the Rav last week. Rav Soloveitchik says something amazing. He says that Reb Shimon holds that Muktzah Vechinu Seshayaviu applies in the case of Ochel. And it's derived from the parish of Man. So in the case of an Ochel, you can have an Ochel that's Roilach, you can have an Ochel that's not Roilach. But in Kalim, where Reb Shimon holds, you don't need, there's no din of Hachonas Hagav, all the din is in the Cheftza. So the Cheftza itself is a Kli. A Kli by definition is Roy, that's the definition of Kli. If it's Roy L'Shimush, then it's not Muktzah. So there is no din of Muktzah in Kalim. In fact, the Gemara establishes that if you take a Glima, where's the Sugya of Glima? Kuf Chav. Kuf Gimel, I forgot already right now. Kuf Chav Het. Sorry. So the Gemara by Glima, which is the sugya of Shivrei Kalim, on Kuf Chav Dalet of the base going on to Kuf Chav Amen Aleph. The Gemara says Zarek Le Glima. He takes a Glima and he throws it into the, what do we call it, Shavir? Rubbish? Or what do they call it? Okay. And it's not Muktzah. It's not Muktzah. Tosfos says, Mibodjo, he threw it before Shabbos. And it's not Muktzah. It's a Kli. And the Gemara talks about Shivrei Kalim. You can always use it for this and for that. So the answer is, because it's still a Kli. The fact that you threw it in the garbage doesn't mean it's not a Kli. I can take this glima out of the garbage and use it. So if it's royal shimush, it's a kli. A kli is not muktzah. Who disagrees with this? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda expands vechidu es hashayavir from ochlin into kalim. And a kli also requires hachana. Is memela according to Rabbi Yehuda, you take a ner that's mos, a ner yashan, and it's muktzah. What do you mean it's muktzah? It's royal shimush. Again, I might not be attracted to use it. It's fashtukin. It's a ner yoshan. But nevertheless, it's a kli. It's talking about Rabbi Yehuda holds that although in the case of Ochlin we need a positive hachonas hagavra, in the case of Kalim there's something called haktzah chiyuvit. And Rabbi Yehuda says about Kalim what Rabbi Shimon would say about ner Daluk, that just like Reb Shimon doesn't require achana in Ochlin, but nevertheless the Shemen, as long as it's Daluk, is Muktzah because of a positive Haktzah, comes along Reb Yehuda, and he accepts Reb Shimon in Kalim that you don't require a achana, because every Kli is Mukha Mitzad Atzma Me'elav, the Cheft itself is making his Atzma. But he agrees that if I have Haktzah Achiyuvit, Even in Caleb is a din of Muktzah. And it's fascinating because Tosfos wants to say, not only in the case of Muktzah Machmas Isur does Rabbi Yehuda have Muktzah and Caleb, but Rabbi Yehuda has Muktzah and Caleb even in the case of Chatzotros. Did we mention this? I forgot if we mentioned it last time. The Tosfos says that Chatzotros, which is equivalent to Kina Shel Tarnigolim, is Muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's a kli, because a musical kli cannot be used on Shabbos at all, it has no shemesh whatsoever. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't be metalpulit, and it's even usher litzar gufo ulitzar makoma like muktzah mamish. And why is that? Tosfos says there's something called a kli shemachal iser. Kli shemachal iser is not muktzah, because kli shemachal iser has tashmish leheter and tashmish leiser. Just let's say rov tashmish is leiser, so the neviim already made a gzeir. That's only Michamal itself, but it's Mukta Machmas Gufo, Machmas Litzal Gufo, Tzof Makoma. But what's Mukta Mamish? Mukta Mamish is not that it's a kli that has two different usages. You know, you have Shemesh Leheter and you have Shemesh Leiser. No, there is no Shemesh Leheter. What do you do with Chatzotros? Ah, you'll tell me you could use it as a paperweight so that your documents don't go flying away. Or in the case of you have a safer and you want to make sure that you know where to put it, so you put it there. No! Even though it's Machmas Gufo, Rabbi Yehuda says it's Muktzah. There is Muktzah in Kalim. Why? Because since I designated it for Kli Shir, as a musical instrument, I was Maksa Midas. And if it's Aktsa Midas, then it's Muktzah. But Rabbi Shimon denies the whole case. And therefore, even though Rabbi Yehuda has Aktsa Midas, in the case of Zarak Limal Ashpa, that's not called Aktsa Midas. That's the Pella. You know, what constitutes Haktzah Midas? Haktzah Midas means when I say that this is designated for a shemesh that's also on Shabbos. They review that as Muktzah and Kalim. But in the case where I throw it in the garbage, that's only my personal decision, but inherently the kli, there's nothing different about this kli. It's not like Chatzotros. It's not like a Kina Shel Tarnagolim, where if you ask anyone on the street, objectively, what's it for? It's for something that's a shemesh also for Shabbos. That's when Rabbi Yehuda accepts Muktzah b'kelim. But if I decide to take a perfectly good keli, it's a beged, and I decide to put it in the rubbish, that doesn't make it into Muktzah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. No, but the kasha is, what do we do with Muktzah machmas chisar and kis? It's a kli, and if it's a kli, it's mufka from Muktzah. There is no Muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no halacha of hachana whatsoever in kelim. In ochla, we need it to be mukhan. The ochla has to be mukhan. Okay, it's mukhan me'elav, but it's got to be mukhan. But in the case of kelim, there's no din of hachana. If there's no din of hachana, then as long as it's functional, even if it's completely out of my mind, then I'm not going to use it on Shabbos because it's too expensive. Nevertheless, it's got a din of a kli. So Bishlam, I understand Shemin Shebener has a din of an ochel. So Shemin Shebener, I can argue, is Muktzah according to Rav Shimon because I was Maximidas. I engendered a halacha of Muktzah in the Shemin. But what are you going to tell me about Missouri and all the rest? You know, these are all different utensils that you use in the context of Ariga. So what? Why is it Muktzah? If a keli is always by definition Mukhan. So Rabosa, I heard something from the Rav. I didn't hear it actually directly from the Rav. I heard it in the name of the Rav, but it's a mind-boggling chiddush. And it's based on a Gemara on Nun Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara on Nun Gimel Amid Beis equates Kabbalah's Tumah with Muktzah. And the Gemara says the following. Just 1 second. Where did I? I'm sorry. Did I say Nun Gimel Amid Beis? I meant to say Pei Gimel Amid Beis. Sorry. So the Gemara on Pei Gimel Amid Beis says the following: Minayin l'sfina shehi tahor. It's a Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amid Beis. So there's something called Kli Eitz, and a Kli Eitz is Mekabel Tuma, unless it's a sfina. Why is a sfina not Mekabel Tuma? So the Gemara says that we're talking about a sfina b'lev yam, and the Gemara has a gzeres shava to sak. Ma sak, the sak is the classical case in the Torah of a kli eitz that's mekabel tumah. Masak dovra metaltel mole verekon. Rashi says that a sack is something that even if it's filled up, right, you use it as a receptacle with contents in it, nevertheless you can move it from place to place. Af kol dovra metaltel mole verekon. That even when it's filled, you can move it from one place to the other. Sfina. She'ena metalteles mole verekon. Sfina is too heavy to move around. So I guess if it's on land, maybe you get all the people together and they schlep it. But if it's belev yam, it's considered davar she'ena metaltel. Is ena mekabelas tuma? So a sfina bintin kliyetz is not mekabelas tuma because it's ena metaltel. In other words, the definition of a kli, as far as kabelas tuma is concerned, it has to be a davar metaltel. If it's something that's takua b'mkomo, it can't be moved, it's lacking the ability of royal tiltul, then based on the Gzeir Shabbat Tesak, it's not makabel tuma. So the Rav wanted to say the following, that apparently efshel l'taltel in this context, in Kli Eitz, is a prerequisite for the Shem Kli. If it cannot be moved and it's stationed in its place, that's afkasha and kli in kabbalas tuma. So Rav Soloveitchik said that since the Gemara equates mukta with the standards and the definitions that apply to kabbalas tuma, if you have an object which is not movable, it becomes mukta because it's lacking efshel l'taltel moli v'rekar. Is memela when you have these kelim that machmas chisar and kiss, the Gemara adds the three words. Is miyached le makom? It means you don't want it to be moved. Chazal established that that's called mukta, and even Reb Shimon agrees that that's mukta. Yes, kelim are mufka from mukta; they're mukhanim by definition. But once I take a kli and I'm miyached le makom, again, you look at the postim, you won't find it. You know, the postman can talk about things that are laying around on your table, but they're expensive, you know, you forgot to put them away. But the Rav would say, according to those postman, that at least you would want to move it, and you would want, I'm sorry, you would not want to move it, and therefore you would have locked it up. But maybe you got fatuled, you know, you distracted and you didn't lock it up. But when the Gemara says at the end of Shabbos, that in these cases, it's muksamach v'skisam kis, the kapit alay u'miyachid le'makom. What is the significance, the import of miyachid le'makom? That you don't want it to be moved. I don't want it to be moved. Somebody starts moving it, a child starts playing with it, and who knows, I'll be out $1,000. Because this is a very unique, precious, and sensitive clue. Is memela, it's paka le'shem kli as far as mukta is concerned, and therefore even Rav Shimon agrees that haktsah chiyuvis operates in kelim, like Rav Yehuda says haktsah chiyuvis works in all kelim. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda establishes that an Er Yashin, which is Mos, is Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda establishes that a Keli needs has a Din of Achana, and therefore, if there's Haktzah Chiyuvus on a Kli like Chatzotros, or like Kinoshel, Tarnagolim, where it's designated for a Shimush, and that's the only Shimush I use it for, and that Shimush is also on Shabbos, is then it's Mukta, and it's also Letalpul, Torkufa, Torkomo, because it's Haktzah Chiyuvus. All that Rabbi Shimon rejects. But Rabbi Shimon is Modeh, that if you're mafkia, the shame kli, then it's mukt. And the source for this is the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Amud Alf. In the bottom of the page, the Gemara says beautifully, the Gemara is talking about Sroros. And the Gemara says that Sroros are Mukta even according to Rav Shimon. And the Gemara says that Rav Shimon only argues in the case of Ochlin the Kalim. And if you have a Kali that can be used L'chasos bo, Es HaKdera, or Es HaTzluchis, it's not Mukta. News for Fekta Gemara, but what about Sroros? Sroros could also be used L'chasos bo, Es HaKalim. So Gemara answers, "Kol tosha b'chatzim etaltelin, hova chazil k'suyid b'mona." Amalei, the last line of Mem Vav Nun Aleph. This is probably the most important line in all of Shas, as far as books is concerned. Ha ikar toras kli ale. In the case of something that has a toras kli, then it's not booked. Hani, but tsroros Lechot Torah's Kliyale. It's Pakashem Kli. This is what's called in the Lashon of the Poskim, Muktzah Machmas Gufo. And the Gemara establishes that Rav Shimon argues about Muktzah in cases of Ochlin and Kalim, but not in something like Tzroros that doesn't have a Shem Kli. Even though, again, you could use it to cover your pots or your jars, but nevertheless, Lecha Torah's Kliyale, the Gemara establishes. Do if it's Pakashen Kli, then it becomes Muktzah Machmas Gufo Machmas Atzmo. It's completely excluded from Hachana, and even Rav Shimon agrees that it's Muktzah. And if we apply that logic to Muktzah Machmas Chisar and Kis, whereas Kofet Alayu Vimyachid Le Mokom, that it's not Metaltel, and therefore you're Mafkiya Shen Kli, then basically it has the same status as Tzroro, says Havodit. It's not a Kli, it's Muktzah. And the Mele Rabosai, this might touch on the whole issue of buses Ludovrosa, but I don't know, I'm not ready for that yet. There's a very strange Rashi about buses, in which Rashi seems to say that it's Batel to the Muktz itself, and therefore doesn't have a Shem Kli, a very, very interesting Rashi. Maybe Gulineda will talk about that. I just want to conclude the Shia, and I apologize for going a little bit later than I'd like to. I saw in this Sefer, the Otzer HaYunim, he quotes Rav Aaron Kotler. And be honest with you, you know, I have a very limited exposure to Rav Aaron Kotler. I learned in a different yeshiva, very different than Lakewood. And, you know, I remember, I'll never forget someone in the Shia once, the Rav was in the middle of a Hezbollah, he was racking his brains and he wanted to say something, a Chiddush. And somebody said, yelled out from the back, Rav Aaron said, so he says, I don't care what Rav Aaron said, you listen to what I said. So he said, no, I meant your brother, Rav Aaron. Oh, what did he say? Anyway, he quotes Rav Aaron. And again, I think Rav Aaron comes from a whole different school of thought. But, you know, once a Litvak, always a Litvak. Listen to Rav Aaron's language. I think it's mamish what we've been trying to say. Is he says the following, Mishnas Rav Aaron, Simon Tes, beautiful shtickle Torah. He says, what's the machlokas Rishonim if Tnai works in Muktzah, in the case of Muktzah Machmas Isur? He says, L'das HaRishonim Shesovrim Shemoil Tnai B'Muktzah Machmas Isur Hu Mishum Desovrim Shebein Hashmoshos Gorim LeHesech Hadas. Everything depends on Hesech Hadas. U'bedover Shein Oroi B'Bein Hashmoshos Odom Meisiach Daito Mimenu. He's talking about Achonis Agavra. Odom, he used the word Odom. And therefore, Pshita Shemoil Tnai. If all of Muktzah is reduced to Hesech Hadas, what I call the Gavra, he uses the word Adam instead of Gavra, then if he's Megal is Das, that he's Eino Mesiach Taito, so he can't force a Hesech Hadas down his throat, and therefore Tnai works. For Rishonim Shesovrim Shelomoil Tnai B'Muktzah, who Machma Shesovrim. Again, the language is very Mr. Baal, as we say. He says, Shebein Hashmoshos Kovea Din Muktzah Lo Machmas Hesech Hadas Elo Machmas Shehachifetz Bebein Hashmoshos Chal Beishem Muktzah. Again, he doesn't use, he probably deliberately avoided using Reb Chaim's terminology of Gavra Cheftza, but at the end of the day, it's the same identical thing. He's saying that going into Bein HaShmoshos, the Cheftza has a Shem Muktzah. And if it has a Shem Muktzah, then it can't be Mukhan. Is that the Mishnah Surah? Okay, then Rabbosai, we'll stop here.
By definition.
By definition. I understand that's kind of glass, and I understand that except when making that saying something which is books and office of some case you're not going to touch it, says big carpet to it, it's more.
I don't know about not touching it, but you have to move.
Yeah. The music is it's not mukhan if you choose it. We'll also be the holy in this whole story.
Rav Yehuda says that a kelim needs hachan, that the chinush or yaviu applies even to kelim, but with one major difference. Whereas Ochlin, I ask myself the question in the case of Ochlin, is it going to be used or not? And I assume that if I put it up here or over there or whatever it is, you know, it's let's say crated, you know, to sell out the market because I'm a farmer and I want to do business with it. So Rav Yehuda says in such a case, I assume he's not making it. Okay. And therefore, in Ochlin, the Chisaron Hachana is enough for Rav Yehuda to engender Mut. Kalim, there's no such thing as a positive Hachana. Even Rav Yehuda agrees I don't have to be making
it.
And therefore, if I take a Gleema and I go to the Ashwa, yes, pick up the Gleema. But the answer is, Rav Yehuda says there's something called Haktza'ah Chiyuvit. haktsa, a maktsa keli. If I'm maktsa keli, I say it's designated for something that's outside of my use on Shabbos. Absolutely no. You know, I put up a red sign. This is not to be used on Shabbos. Then I can create muksa even in keli.
According to the other.
According to the other.
In other words, you can actively do it.
Correct.
So every time we heard this, going to say that keli is going to be osa, it's only because you actively will maksa it. And every keli shem after leisa has been actively
correct. Haktsa. So I take a nair. I'm talking about the receptacle, not the shemen, okay. And I use it for on Shabbos. And now, as a result, it's made of cheres, and you know the oil gets absorbed into the cheres, and you know it's a little bit smelly. You know what I'm saying? That's called mos. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's an active haktsah. You made it mos. You were saying, I don't want to use this. Again, when I talk about using it, you understand I'm not talking about using it for lighting candles.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not like they threw out every clean cheres after it wasn't chag pavi, as you say. But if you want to use it now to pour food into, it's mos. You went ahead and you used it for a nair with the shemen and it's all black and smelly. Then you did an act of haktsah, and even though it's a kli, it's mos. Well, for example, you say that this is a musical instrument. You take something, and you know, the manufacturer produced. How do you say chatzotzos in English? A trumpet, and this is not for Shabbos. That's also haktsah chiyuvit. But klima is royal shimush. That's not called haktsah chiyuvit. I mean, again, it needs a little bit more beer. Why not?
Yeah.
But wait a second, Yoshua, don't lose me.
Yeah.
The punchline is that if we're correct, that according to Reb Shimon, Ner Yashod is not mukta. Why? Because it's a kli. There's no din of hakhana or requiring hakhana in keli. Torah required hakhana in ochlin, not in keli. If we're right that Reb Shimon holds that a trumpet is not mukta on Shabbos, not because maybe I'll use it, you know, stand on my head, use it for a paperweight. But a trumpet is not mukta on Shabbos because it's a kli. As long as it's a kli, it's not mukta. Correct, that's what Reb Shimon is going to say.
Yeah.
That's why the Gemara has a problem with tzoros, because maybe tzoros should not be mukta according to Reb Shimon, because I can use it to cover my kli. So Gemara says tzoros doesn't have a shen kli. So what do we do now with mukta machas and some kids? Should we say that it doesn't have a shen kli?
That's
according to Reb Yehuda, it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning, you know, because Reb Yehuda is going to say, look, you need it, you have to avoid a haktach yuvit. You took this and you amacked it. But according to Reb Shimon, there's no din of hachana in Kelim. There's no possibility of hachana in Kelim, of muktz in Kelim. No, if that be the case, so what are you going to tell about muktz machas nisar in Kelim? And here's where the Rav quotes the Sugya Pei Gimel that I would have to learn for 50 years to even find this. But the Gemara is about Tumah Vitara. And the Gemara says it's got to be royal tilt.
Right.
So says the Rav that what the Chachamim did when they organized the laws of Mukta, they made it look like, or they compared it to the paradigm of Kalim, which is Kabbalah's Tumah.
Yeah.
And they said that if you take a kli, your miyakele makom, what you're saying is don't move this kli. Then it's really like a sfina, and it's not makabel tum. It doesn't have a shen kli. Then even as far as mukta, Reb Shimon can agree that it's like tzoros. It's mukta machmas kufa.
And making this usual is not so schwer. I remember when it came to Issa Heta, we also had certain nitzah. Could you pour something?
Right, nitzah.
It's all coming from tum and tava as well. So right. We see we do apply tum and tava.
Right.
It's certain mechanics, don't it?
Right.
Crazy.
The classical case in Issa Heta is yain nesach. I think you know that. If the guy is pouring the yayin and you have yayin shel heter, then we apply the principle of nitzok and the other way around. The Jew is pouring yayin shel heter into yayin nesach, and it's as if the yayin in the bakbuk didn't go in.
Right, goes upwards because by tumah it goes upwards. So I think we do see that tum and tahar is applied to heter and that's applied to Shabbos as well by kedim. So that's fine. But what I'm still struggling on that bit I'm fine with. I'm struggling on Rabbi Yehuda. I understand Rabbi Yehuda still, but yes.
Like, what is that because of my problem? No, well, same thing. Reviewed all
this, is it a any kli
should be. Reviewed accepts mukts and kli.
No, I say, so according to Reviewed, every single kli, which is also, we consider as if you had an active haktsa'ah before Shabbos on?
Well, again, you're correct in what you said, but I would have said it the other way around. You know, the question is which came first, the egg or the chicken. In other words, I would say it a little bit around, the other way around, but we're saying the same thing. I would say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, whenever you're makta something he does, even though it's a kli, it becomes mukta.
So I'm saying, if I've got 50,000 chavots in my house, and all sorts of chavots, it's as if I did an active haktsa of all those keli which are
Again, yeah, I think so. I mean, the classical case is...
I didn't think about my kitchen scales before Shabbos, yeah? I didn't think about
it. No, but you bought the object and brought it home and possessed it as scales. You know, so you designated for scales. I mean, you're not the manufacturer, but you bought it for scales. If you bought it for scales, then you made a statement, this is not for Shabbos use. You can't use scales on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's called Mutzer Machmas.
And that came from
Easter. And even though it's a kli, even though it's a wonderful kli, I can think of 50 million ways of using it.
It's not Mutzer anymore.
Yeah, but again, not that it's not mukhan. I don't know the review that requires achon and kelim, but it's worse than that. It's mukhan.
That's all. No,
it's mukhan. I pushed it away from Shabbos.
So everything has to be mukhan, finished. Everything has to.
I don't know again, because what I don't want to say that the same standards that Rabbi Yehuda uses in Ochlin, he's going to use in kelim. Because keep in mind, the kli is always considered mukha. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that. The sugi of glima, where he throws it into the ashpa, Tosa says is even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So as long as it's a kli, and I still have many uses for it on Shabbos. You know, you can wear this beggar. Okay, it's not your. Maybe you wear it to a garatish, you know, as a beggar. You know, because they in gar, you know, the shiraim is a rough business, so they have a special tailor that they wear for the tish that already ripped. And stuff. So, but you have some use from it. But if you have something that has no use whatsoever, you're not blowing trumpets on Shabbos. You're not weighing your baby on Shabbos. So in that case, you are maximidas. Once you're maximidas, you are mafkia. You mafkia achon. It's a positive thing. It's a kumba
seh. It's a passive, active haktah.
Correct.
Because it's also got passiveness. Light a candle is an active haktah. Light a candle, it's lit fine bigger.
Right. What I mean to say is that, let's say, for example, the case of glimal ashpa. If you had a parallel case, I'll come up with one in Mitzvah Hashem. I don't have one now. In Ochlin, is Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's not mukt. You follow me?
You have a cake for Shabbat Brochus or something that make it, so you put it aside in a cupboard.
Right. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that's not.
Because what it's in itself, it's right. Again, the same as me.
All right, we'll stop here because.